Hey everyone, welcome back to the channel. Today we are putting one of the most iconic names in consumer goods under the microscope, the Procter & Gamble Company, ticker PG. This is a comprehensive deep dive where we'll cover everything from the business model and earnings to the financials, a full SWOT analysis, and our intrinsic value calculation. By the end, you'll know exactly where I stand on this stock. Let's get into it. Now, P&G is a staple in just about every household around the world. We're talking about brands like Tide, Pampers, Gillette, Crest, and Bounty. It's a $338 billion market cap company, and it sits squarely in the consumer defensive sector. That means no matter what the economy is doing, people still need to do laundry, brush their teeth, and change diapers. That's the core thesis for owning a stock like this. Founded way back in 1837 and headquartered in Cincinnati, Ohio, P&G has been around for nearly two centuries. The company is run by CEO Shailesh Jejurikar, and it employs about 108,000 people globally. The business model is simple but powerful. They manufacture and sell a massive portfolio of branded consumer goods. They operate through five main segments: beauty, grooming, healthcare, fabric and home care, and baby, feminine and family care. This diversification is a massive strength, ensuring they aren't overly reliant on any single product category. Let's talk about the numbers that matter. For the fiscal year 2025, P&G generated over $84 billion in total revenue. Now let's break that down. The biggest chunk comes from fabric and home care, which brought in nearly $30 billion. That's your Tide, Gain, and Swiffer. Next is baby, feminine, and family care at over $20 billion, which includes Pampers and Bounty. Beauty and healthcare each contributed around $12 to $15 billion, and grooming rounded it out with about $6.7 billion. Geographically, the business is almost perfectly split, with the United States accounting for roughly $41.6 billion and non-US markets contributing about $42.7 billion. This global footprint is a key part of their resilience. Now, let's dig into the most recent earnings results from the third quarter of fiscal 2026, which they reported in late April. The headline here is that organic sales were up 3%, which is solid in this environment. The company is seeing broad-based growth across its segments. Management highlighted that they are successfully navigating a cautious consumer by leaning on innovation and productivity. They're not just raising prices, they're driving volume through premium product launches, especially in core categories like Tide and Pampers. However, they did provide cautious guidance for the full year, with sales growth expected to be in the 1 to 5% range and earnings per share coming in toward the lower end of their $6.83 to $7.09 forecast. This reflects ongoing cost pressures from commodities and tariffs. During the Q3 2026 earnings call, management really emphasized their strategy of innovation-led pricing. They're not just pushing through price increases, they're making products that deliver more value, which justifies a higher price point. For instance, they talked about how new iterations of Tide and Pampers are driving market share gains. The tone was confident but realistic. They acknowledged the macro headwinds, inflation, and consumer trade down, but they believe their portfolio of essential, core, trusted brands gives them pricing power that smaller competitors don't have. They also reiterated their commitment to returning cash to shareholders through dividends and buybacks, which is always a key point for income-focused investors. Let's look at the financial health of the business. Over the last 5 years, P&G has grown its revenue from $76 billion to over $84 billion, which is steady, single-digit growth. More importantly, net income has grown from $14.3 billion to $16 billion. The company is incredibly profitable, with a net profit margin of over 19%. They generated over $14 billion in free cash flow in fiscal 2025. That's a cash machine. The balance sheet is solid, with about $9.5 billion in cash. They do have debt, but with a debt-to-equity ratio of just 0.68, it's very manageable. The current ratio is a bit low at 0.73, which is typical for a company that turns inventory over quickly, but it's something to keep an eye on. The real star here is the dividend. They've been paying and raising it for decades, and the current yield is about 2.9%, backed by a very safe payout ratio. Now, let's get into the classic SWOT analysis. Starting with strengths, P&G has an unmatched portfolio of trusted, essential brands. They have massive scale and a global distribution network that's incredibly hard to replicate. Financially, they are a fortress with strong free cash flow and a 68-year track record of dividend increases. Moving to weaknesses, the sheer size of the company makes it tough to achieve high growth rates. We're looking at low single-digit organic growth. Also, their high exposure to commodity costs and a strong dollar can pressure margins. For opportunities, they have a huge runway in emerging markets where rising middle classes will buy more consumer goods. They are also leaning into premiumization and digital commerce, which can boost margins. Finally, the threats. The biggest one is intense competition from private label brands, especially as consumers become more price conscious. We also have to consider geopolitical risks, tariffs, and the potential for further input cost inflation. Let's take a look at the price action. Over the last year, the stock is down about 8.5%. More recently, over the last 3 months, it's down about 3.3%. This pullback has brought the price down to around 145 to 146. The stock has a low beta of 0.38, which means it's much less volatile than the overall market. That's a double-edged sword. It protects you on the downside, but you won't see explosive upside either. The recent weakness is largely due to the cautious guidance and macroeconomic fears. This is where we get to the heart of the matter. What is P&G actually worth? For a mature compounder like this, the forward PE model is the most appropriate valuation tool. The AI-driven analysis confirms this with a high confidence score of 92 out of 100. The model uses a terminal PE of 22, which is below P&G's historical average of 26, reflecting its mature, decelerating growth profile. It's also above the current forward PE of about 20.7, which suggests there's room for multiple expansion. So what's the result? The fair value from the primary forward PE model comes in at $155.54. The DCF model, which acts as a supporting check, points to a value of $102.57. After reconciling these, the plausible fair value range is between $140 and $170, with a midpoint of $155. With the stock currently trading around $146, this implies it is slightly undervalued. What drives this valuation? First, the share buyback rate. The model assumes a 0.7% annual reduction in shares, which is conservative for P&G. Second, the free cash flow conversion. The model uses a custom ratio that assumes strong but not perfect conversion of net income to cash. Third, the terminal multiple. The decision to use a PE of 22 is the single biggest driver. It assumes that P&G will continue to be a high-quality, low-growth business, but not pay a premium for that status. All right, here is my take. P&G is a quintessential sleep-well-at-night stock. It's not going to double your money in a year, but it's a high-probability bet on steady returns. The key upside is its pricing power and brand loyalty. Even in a recession, people will buy Tide. The key risk is valuation. While it's slightly undervalued based on our model, it's not a screaming bargain. You're paying a premium for quality. My verdict is that this is a solid hold for long-term investors and a buy on any significant dips below $140. For the five-year outlook, if you invested $10,000 today at the current price, our model projects an ending value of about $19,154. That's a negative CAGR of -1.75%, which reflects the near-term headwinds. But that doesn't account for the dividend, which would significantly boost total returns. If you reinvest those dividends, the picture becomes much more attractive. So what do you think about PG? Is it a buy the dip opportunity, or are the headwinds too strong? Leave your take in the comments below. Thanks for watching. If this helped you think through the story, hit like and subscribe for more stock deep dives. See you in the next one.